Hello there and welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek and it's great to be here with you on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Well, at least I'm taping it Wednesday afternoon. Today is March the 10th and we're going to be talking about in this life. And actually, these are not my words, but the words of Jesus when he tells us that in this life, you're going to have tribulation, problems, trials. But smile, because I, and this is Jesus talking, am bigger than those problems. You know, this is one of those messages. This is the message from Give Up Worry for Lent for today. This is one of those messages that we absolutely need to master, to internalize, and to choose to accept, right? Because it's a choice. You choose to accept that message in order to find peace in life. And when you do, I'm telling you, when you do, when you come to believe that that message is true, there is no way that your peace is going to be taken away from you by anything that happens in the world. But look, this is a process. How many times have you heard me say this is a process? I say it a lot, don't I? It's a process. And it's not something that most of us can do automatically, or all of a sudden we start to just accept this. It's not. I mean, this is a gradual process, accepting this, accepting the reality of the fact that we will have problems in life, but that the Lord is in charge, accepting it, even when we don't see it. And that's challenging. So I think that I'm glad we get to talk about this today. I was talking on the phone with somebody today, a friend of mine, and I was saying that I consider it my mission, my goal, is to be as realistic as possible when it comes to my writing, my speaking. I love Jesus. I believe he can do all things. He's my friend. I talk to him every day. I talk to God the Father every day. I talk to the Holy Spirit every day. I turn to the Blessed Mother and St. Joseph and ask for their intercession. I really do. And I believe they all can help me. I believe that God is in control of the universe. I do. But I don't always feel it. And there are times when I get discouraged. There are times when I get down. There are times when I just want to jump back in bed and pull the covers up and go to sleep. There are times that I feel that way. There are times when I get frustrated because things around me aren't happening in the way that I would like. It happens to me. I feel that. But I have learned to the best of my ability to persevere, to keep praying. I choose to believe that God is faithful. I choose to believe that he's all powerful. I choose to believe that he is all loving. I just wish sometimes I would feel it because sometimes I don't. But that's why I want to share this with you. Because if you hear somebody tell you, just pray and you'll feel better, that's not always true. You won't always feel better. In your mind, you might have more peace of mind. I certainly believe that when you pray, you start to get more peace of mind. Sometimes you feel the peace, but sometimes you don't. But I think the reason that we need to all accept not feeling that peace all the time or that happiness that you're looking for, we need to accept it because otherwise we're going to turn to God just to feel good. And when we don't feel good, we're going to get mad at him. And there's a chance that we're just going to stop praying. We don't want to do that. And, you know, I believe through the gift of faith, through some willpower, some hard work on our part, some thinking, some reflecting, through all of that, everything I'm saying begins to make sense to you. And you almost feel the process taking place. Earlier today, you know, I'm at a point now where I'm between book releases. I have a new book coming out. I'm still Give Up Worry for Lent is still pretty much being discussed. I'm discussing it here. We're in Lent. I mean, what the heck, you know. But I also have to focus on my new book, Give Up Worry for Good. And there's a transition there. I'm also waiting to get more speaking engagements on the books. It's not happening yet because of COVID. Things have still not opened up. I see the sunrise on the horizon. I see it happening. It's starting. The sun is beginning to rise. It's beginning to open up. I'm starting to at least get some inquiries, which I hadn't gotten any for the past year because nobody was booking anything. But I don't have anything on paper official, with the exception of one talk. And sometimes I get down. Sometimes I think, you know, I'm just tired of this. I don't want to do this. Because there is a certain element in all of us of when things go well externally, then you feel good. And I like that. I like that. I really do. I like things to go my way. But they don't always. And that's when Jesus calls us to unite whatever suffering we're going through with His. And you know, it's hard sometimes if you're not used to it. If you're used to running from suffering, and that's the way I've always felt. And I think that's, you know, in the past for most of my life, and now that I'm realizing that's not healthy, that's not what God wants me to do, now that I'm realizing it, there's some painful change necessary. So, look, all the disappointments we feel, all the frustrations, all of the, even the tragedies, and I certainly am not downplaying your grief. If you could be going through something really painful, I really do understand that, and I don't want to downplay or trivialize what could be extreme suffering on your part. But this is part of the journey of a Christian. We're called to take up our cross, and for many of us. Who like to control things, situations, like me. I'm a control freak. I want to be in charge. I am somebody who tends to question, or who has tended to question, what God is doing. Well, why does it have to be this way? Or why is this person not going through what I'm going through? You know, why is her cross lighter than mine? It's easy to do that. But I'm learning that's not good. Because my cross is designed uniquely for me. And then again, you know, this all flows from my relationship with God. Do I understand how much He loves me? I don't think any of us understand fully how much He loves us. And that's why it's important during Lent especially to really take a deep look and try to do some reading, do some prayer. Spend some time with the Lord in His presence. You know, if you can get to adoration at an adoration chapel, get to daily mass, get to confession. And all of these encounters with Jesus help to change us. Help to change us into the people who He wants us to be. Because we stray. We do things the way we want. And not necessarily the way He wants. So it's part of the Lenten process, and I hope I can help you through it as we talk about it on this program, and especially today as we discuss the idea that we have problems in this life. And that Jesus is bigger than those problems, right? So we'll talk about that. And I had something specifically I wanted to say, but I want to hold that till after the prayer. So why don't we pray? Let's just settle in, grab your beverage, get ready. Let's sit down, and if you can, and let's pray first. Let's turn to our Father in heaven and pray, and then we'll get right into the show, all right? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we know that You are present here with us. Father, we know You love us. We know, Father, that You are all-powerful. Father, we know that Your will and following Your will, even when it involves a cross and suffering, is the way for each of us to reach our final place, our resting place in heaven. Our cross is designed to get us there. Our cross, our suffering, is also designed by accepting it to bringing us the peace, to giving us the peace that we long for. It's very hard to accept, Father. Very hard to accept sometimes. We pray that you continue to have mercy on us, be patient with us, and give us the extra grace that we need so we can accept the suffering, the difficulties, the inconveniences of daily life. Father, we pray that we can be changed this Lent, that we can be transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus, through the working of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, awaken your Spirit in us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come to life. Change us. Transform us. Change the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act. Father, I ask for a special outpouring of your Spirit for me this day on the program. Give me the words that you would like me to speak. And Father, open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for praying with me, and thanks for hanging out with me for the rest of this program. I always like it when I get to talk about these realistic messages. I was asking the Holy Spirit about this today. I didn't know where to go. I mean, I knew I was going to talk about this on the show, but I didn't know what kind of depth I wanted to go into with this. And I just think it's really something we need to hear. And we will, because it's the ultimate in realism. And I think when it comes to faith, we've got to be realistic. We've got to be realistic. We have to ask the tough questions because they have answers. You know, even if the answer is he's God, we're not, that's an answer, right? Because a lot of times we'll say, well, why? Why does this happen? If God is all-loving, why does this happen to this person? Or why did this happen to me? Or why didn't this happen? And sometimes the answer... Sometimes the answer is, I just don't know. And if you're, you know, we have to get to that point that we can accept that as a valid answer, because this is going to happen to each of us at some point in our life. It might be happening to you right now. We're going to have that why question. This doesn't make any sense. Why did this happen? What good can come out of this? And I think sometimes when you're going through a situation like that, you almost have to work backwards and say, well, God loves me. God's all powerful. Therefore, he could have changed this. This didn't have to happen. So it must benefit me in some way if it's happening in my life, right? If it's happening in my life. So therefore, if it's happening, it's an expression of God's love. And if I can find out any reason, if I could see any potential good reasons through prayer, you know, the Lord might reveal something to me, or I read scripture or something and I see some good out of it that could come out of it, then that's my answer. But even if I can't come up with anything, through my relationship with God, I want to get to the point where I say, you know what, I can't explain this, but I trust him. And for many of us, we're not there. That doesn't mean we can't get there. But for right now, for many of us, we're not there. And I think that's something for all of us to work on, because you see, once we get to that point, we're not going to be affected by the junk that's going on in the world. I want to be at that point. I want to be there, don't you? So that when you turn on the news, when you look around, you don't get freaked out by what's happening. You don't become overwhelmed. You don't get discouraged. If we could get to that point, we're all going to be in great shape. All right, I'm blabbing, and I didn't even give you the news yet. I always like to point you to my website, followingthetruth.com. I want to welcome you to the program officially now that I've been talking for half of the show. And I want to remind you that in 2 days, Give Up Worry for Good, 8 Weeks to Hopeful Living and Lasting Peace, will be shipping. So put in your order now. You can do that. The easiest way to do that is go to followingthetruth.com, and you can put your pre-order in. But they're in stock, and they're just ready to be shipped. Amazon's got to pull the trigger to officially release them. And a lot of times what they've done in the past is they start shipping them before the official release date. Well, the official release date is Friday. I'm holding the book in my hand, so they are definitely in print. And I think you're going to like this. This is the follow-up to Give Up Worry for Lent. This is what you do for the 8 weeks after Lent. You know, this would be a great, you don't have to do it right after Lent, but for all of those people, and I've had many people tell me that they've gone through Give Up Worry for Lent multiple times, even after Lent was over. This is a great way to do that, because unlike Give Up Worry for Lent, I organized this by different themes. So there's in the 8 weeks, there were different themes. Week one, it is possible to stop worrying. Week two, recognizing God's power. Week three, learn to turn to Him for help. Week four, do what you can. Week five, expect difficulties. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. There's going to be troubles in life. We're going to slip and fall, and we're going to have problems. And then week six gets the focus back, focus on God. Week seven, surrender. Oh, there's that dirty word, right? Surrender to God's will, thy will be done. And week eight, look back. Look back at all that God has done for you. Look back over your quest to give up worrying. You know, whatever you got. Sometimes you got to look back and see the great things that the Lord has done. And that can be very helpful. So Give Up Worry for Good, 8 weeks to Hopeful Living and Lasting Peace. It's also designed for groups, for group use. So if you got a small group, you want to get a small group of people together, either virtually or in person, it'd be a great, great program to do. As far as I know, there's no other program like this in terms of Catholic small group programs. Give Up Worry for Good. Let's get rid of it, because it doesn't do any good. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go to find out more information. Also, if you haven't done so, please sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can do that for free. Doesn't cost you anything, by going to followingthetruth.com. All righty. So let's talk about this verse. I love this verse. This is John 16:33. These are the words of Jesus. I don't think he could be more of a realist than what he's saying here. I just love this. Jesus said this, or says this, I should say. He's saying this to each of us. I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Now, if you stop that right there, it doesn't make any sense. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What is that all about? But it doesn't end there. There's a comma. Be of good cheer, comma. I heard it said once, and I don't remember who said this, but we should never put a period where God puts a comma. But be of good cheer, not period, comma, I have overcome the world. See, what Jesus is saying is that you're going to have problems in this world, but be of good cheer, comma, because I have overcome the world. I'm bigger than the world. I'm bigger than your problems. I'm bigger than your financial disasters. I'm bigger than your sicknesses. I'm bigger than the sudden death of a friend or a loved one. I'm bigger than somebody talking behind your back. I'm bigger than a job loss. I'm bigger. I'm bigger. I'm bigger than COVID. I'm bigger. That's what Jesus is saying. So, you know, the natural question is, for many of us, well, why don't you stop it? You know, but I mean, really, if you look at what happened on Calvary, that was necessary for our salvation. But I don't get it. It was necessary, but I don't get it. You know, you can have that conversation with God. It was necessary because that's how bad sin was. And God the Father wanted to demonstrate the love that He has for us, the love of His Son, by dying on the cross for us. But it wasn't fair. It shouldn't have happened. But you see what we're doing when we start thinking like that? We're playing God. We're trying to play God. We're doing what got Adam and Eve into trouble. And the devil loves that when we start to think like that, because then he does to us what he did to Eve. God's trying to trick you. God's not really looking out for you, for your good. Can you really trust God? You know, he plants these seeds of doubt in your mind. Satan can't make you do anything, but he sure can make you doubt God's goodness. Don't fall for it. It's a lie. Jesus is telling us, in this world we will have tribulations, troubles, trials, suffering, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. And then the sentence before this, I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. The only way you're going to find lasting peace in life, and I've been living this, I know it. I sometimes get tripped up and struggle with it. But the only way you will have lasting peace in life is to follow Jesus, to stay close to him, to unite yourself with him. And that means every day you go where he leads. Where does he lead? He leads you to whatever happens to you that day. It might be suffering. It might be a flat tire. It might be traffic. It might be an upset stomach. It might be a difficult day at work. It might be trouble with your kids at home. It could be any number of different things. But that's how Jesus leads us through the day. And sometimes we discount following Jesus by performing our ordinary duties, depending on our state in life. But that's how his will plays out. That's how he leads us. He leads us to cross paths with certain people each day, a certain set of circumstances. And because he can control all things, because he's all powerful, anything that happens to you, he's permitting it to happen. He doesn't always will it. So God does not will evil, but he allows it to happen sometimes if he can use it for a greater good. He can use a sickness or a job loss sometimes to bring you closer to him. And ultimately, to strengthen your faith, which could lead to you having a better chance at getting into heaven. Now, that's a really difficult thing for us to accept sometimes, because we don't like suffering. Many of us don't like suffering, and we want to run from it at all costs. And I think that sometimes, it's okay to pray for your crosses to be taken away. Jesus did it in his agony in the garden. So yeah, go ahead and pray for your illness to be cured. Pray for your problem to be over. You know, you're looking for work and you're struggling. You're sending out resumes. You're not getting a job. It would be wrong to just say, well, I'm just going to carry my cross. You're going to carry your cross at the same time you're applying for new jobs. You're praying for doors to open up. You're going out and doing something. And then God sometimes allows you to carry a cross, and then you carry it. You know, if you're praying for healing and you're not getting healed, that's your cross. You don't want to not take your medicine to try to find your own cross, because that's not dealing with the cross that God gave you. So we want to be careful about that too. Yes, pray for your situation to change. That's fine. But where we get ourselves into trouble is when it doesn't change, when I can't fix it, and then I get mad, and then I get frustrated. Well, I'm just going to go eat. I don't want to pray anymore. I'm just going to go eat, or I'm going to go drink, or I'm going to go watch TV. You know, that stuff is not necessarily bad. But if it's a substitute for God, well, that's bad. And sometimes, all right, moment of truth, sometimes I just want to eat a big old sandwich or eat a big piece of cake instead of praying when I'm upset. But I've learned that that's not the answer. You know, but I feel like it, so I'm honest with you. But I have to learn if I want to grow in my relationship with the Lord, if I want to have the lasting peace that comes from that relationship with him, I've got to learn to not head to the cake right away. Instead, to turn to the Lord in prayer, whether I feel it or not. You know, that's important. That's important. And then it might be okay to have some cake, but make sure you do the prayers first, all right? Hey, I hope this helped you. I hope it gave you some inspiration today. You know, if you ever have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com or contact me at the website, followingthetruth.com. It's tough. I'm not going to kid you. It is tough. It's tough to keep going sometimes when you're tired, when you're frustrated, when your faith is beginning to weaken. But just be careful that you do it anyway. You know, put the time in still. Keep praying. Keep praying even if you don't feel like your prayers are being heard. The fact that you don't feel like God's listening to you doesn't make it true. It just means that you have a feeling about something. Sometimes we treat our feelings as facts, but they're not. Feelings are just that. They are feelings. They come and go. They're wrong a lot of times. Sometimes you're feeling down for no apparent reason. Sometimes you feel pretty upbeat, even though things are a mess. So don't follow your feelings when it comes to your prayers. You can pray even though you're not feeling it, okay? I hope you'll be back with me tomorrow on the program. In the meantime, please check out my website, followingthetruth.com. If you'd care to leave a donation while you're there to help me keep my full-time ministry funded, I would appreciate that. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Also, if you want to book me to speak at your church, your conference, your parish mission, whatever it may be, followingthetruth.com is the place to go to make that happen. I do hope you have a wonderful night. I do hope you do not get overwhelmed by the bad news that you're seeing in your life, in the world, in the country right now, wherever. The Lord is still in charge. Jesus has overcome this world. Let's rejoice about that, okay? Have a wonderful night, God willing. I hope to see you tomorrow. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.